You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Listening to a radio station where the mighty horse of heaven sings. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio
on. Turn your radio
on. Turn your radio on.
You're the hero's good vibrations. Got to come the joy that is looking great. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
Oh, yes, turn your radio on.
Listen to the music in the air. Turn your radio on.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've got to tell you, this is another one of those shows that I look at on the annual broadcast calendar, and it gets circled early. This is that very special show, the only one throughout our entire broadcasting year, where Confederate History Month and Easter meet. And that is what we've got coming your way tonight, along with some of my very favorite Southern gospel music. Every song you hear tonight, going to be some of those old Baptist hymns that I grew up singing, and believe me, I can still sing all of them. Welcome to tonight's live broadcast. I'm your host, James Edwards, along with Keith Alexander, this Saturday evening, April the 8th. This is Holy Week, Good Friday, yesterday, tomorrow, Sunday is Resurrection Day, and to help us fuse all of that together, the South and our faith and our people, we've got two great guests tonight coming up in the third hour. The resident clergyman of TPC after all these years, Pastor Brett McAtee, will be on to present the biblical account of the resurrection of Christ. And in our first hour tonight, our dear good friend, who we could never have a Confederate History Month installment without, Dr. Michael Hill. Of course, Dr. Hill is a retired university professor of history, author of two books on Celtic warfare, and president of the League of the South. Michael, it is great to have you tonight. How are you, brother?
James, I'm doing well. I always appreciate being on the show. Keith, hope you're doing well tonight.
Doing great. We have a friend called Mr. Confederate Man, but I told him that he needs to step aside on Confederate History Month because there is only one Confederate Man, basically, at the TPC in that month, and that's you.
That's Chief Hill. We don't call him. We don't call him Doctor. We don't call him Mike. We just call him Chief.
I appreciate that, fellas. I really do. Hey, James, I love that old gospel music, too. I used to listen to that with my granddaddy when I was a boy.
Boy, let me tell you something. I've got all, like I said a moment ago, all of my favorites. I know you're only on with us for the first hour, but I think that's really going to be a treat tonight. This is the kind of stuff I grew up on. And as a matter of fact, you know, Michael, of course, we're on tonight to talk about our Southern history and heroes with you. You're on throughout the year. You're always a mainstay during our Confederate History Month series, but you're on throughout the year for other reasons as well. But let's just start right there, why don't we? I mean, this has been something that has been mentioned before, but I'd love to get your take on it, with this being Easter weekend. The erstwhile spokesman for the Southern Baptist Convention, though he's no longer there, his odious work has still left an imprint. Russell Moore once famously said that the Confederate flag and the Holy Bible could not stand together without one setting the other on fire. Would you like to respond to that? Do you believe that?
No, absolutely not. I think they both fit quite well together. After all, what is the St. Andrew's Cross but one of the great iconic figures of our faith, the cross that St. Andrew was crucified on. So I think the two fit together very well, and the South has historically been known as the Bible Belt. And certainly when you look at the comparison of men like Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, and compare them to Abraham Lincoln, U.S. Grant, et cetera, you're going to see who the Christians are and who the you know, non-Christian barbarians are there. I don't think that there's any problem in reconciling the Confederate battle flag with the Holy Bible. They fit together very well, in my opinion.
If they catch on fire, I hope that Russell Moore is in the vicinity.
right in the middle.
Well, it's of course, what you said, Michael, is exactly right. I mean, the Confederate flag itself is a cross. I mean, it literally, quite literally is.
It's a Christian symbol.
It's a Christian symbol. Yeah, that's right. We're on tonight we're going to talk about race in the South. You know, what we see these things through race, as every other people group does, the issues that we cover on this program, but faith and culture and, you know, values. One of our mutual friends gave me a slight admonishment for last week's show, saying, well, we talked a lot about values, but at the end of the day, it does come down to race. Well, and he's right. And he's right. And
the thing about that, too, James, is this. Unlike the rest of the country, the South hadn't been subjected to wave after wave of foreign immigrants coming in. Basically, we've got the same stock of people that we had at the founding of this nation. We have Anglo-Celtic whites, and we have blacks. And I tell people that, you know, black Southerners and white Southerners get along famously, except in instances in which a third-party agent provocateur from outside the area comes in to stir up trouble. In the first Reconstruction, it was Yankee abolitionists. In the second, it was Jewish freedom riders.
Well, all of that's true, and I don't know. I mean, racial tensions today are, of course, much more exacerbated than they ever were.
Well, that's because we have a third-party agent provocateur.
It's a totally different kind of animosity now. But, Michael, when you look at our people, when you look at what makes the South Southern, what makes the South that we're trying, what are we trying to preserve here? I mean, we're talking about, obviously, the white South. We're not talking about blues music and soul food. We're talking about our people. How do you reconcile, not necessarily reconcile, but race and faith? What came first, I mean, for our people? Is it the race? I mean, I guess it's the race, but the faith has been a great boon for us over so many centuries. And
well, a nation is biblical sound, and a nation is racial.
Well, take it from there, Michael.
Yeah, that's true. The South would not be the South without Christianity being the foundation for it. You know, there's a reason that medieval Europe was referred to as Christendom. And that is that Christianity was taken to the white race, and the white race has perpetuated it throughout the centuries. And I don't think that there's any mystery that we are God's people. I believe that for a long time. My grandfather taught me that. And I believe it, and I think the best manifestation of it that we've had in America has been in the South. The South has always been, as I said before, referred to as the Bible Belt, and I think rightly so. And I don't think that you can separate race from religion. I won't get into all the, I'm glad you're having Brett McAtee on, Pastor McAtee on. I'll be listening to him for my Easter service tomorrow. And as I do every Sunday, he's a fine man, and I'm certainly glad, honored to be on the same show with him tonight. And he probably can answer these questions a lot better than I can, but from a theological standpoint. But to me, Christianity is white man's religion, first and foremost. And no better manifestation of it historically has, you know, been anywhere else but the South. Yeah, I hear your music coming on. I'll continue this on the other side if you'd like.
Yeah, this is just an opening salvo in a night that is going to blend two fundamental aspects of this program together, our people and our faith. We'll be right back with Dr. Michael Hill.
The Honorable Cause of Free South is a collection of 12 essays written by Southern nationalist authors. The book explores topics such as what is the Southern nation, what is Southern nationalism, and how can we achieve a free and independent Dixie. The Honorable Cause answers questions on our own terms. The book invites readers to understand for themselves why a free and independent Dixie is both preferable and possible. The book pulls in some of the biggest producers of pro-South content, including James Edwards, the host and creator of The Political Cesspool, and Wilson Smith, author of Charlottesville Untold, Arkansas congressional candidate and activist Neil Kumar, host and creator of the Dissident Mama podcast, Rebecca Dillingham, author of A Walk in the Park, My Charlottesville Story, Identity Dixie's Patrick Martin, and yours truly, Michael Hill, founder and president of the League of the South, as well as several other authors. The Honorable Cause is available now at Amazon.com.
In message one, we said that Satan, the father of lies, John 8:44, gave the left evil, spiritual power the more they used the lies. The political left today is the beast. Now the Bible confirms that the dragon gave him, the beast, his power. Revelation 13:2. The extra evil spiritual power that comes from the beast by their lying is what accounts for the string of the leftist criminals in the government that have never yet been prosecuted. It also explains why American capitalists support communism in the 21st century. Note 1. That behavior of capitalists was predicted by Vladimir Lenin, a cell of the beast. Note 2. Henry Ford was a capitalist, and he would have never gone communist. The difference between Ford and the present-day, end-time capitalists, is that Ford was born and educated in the Kingdom of Christ, 19th century America, the New Jerusalem, Revelation 21.
On that riding cloud this morning, when the dead in Christ shall rise, and the glory of his resurrection share, when his chosen ones shall gather to their home beyond the skies, and the roll is called yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called yonder, when the roll is called yonder, when the roll is called yonder.
I tell y'all, folks, I can remember singing that one at full throttle as a young boy. And of course, listen, I know the churches have become a big problem. I mean, you don't need to tell me or Michael Hill or Keith Alexander that all of the denominations, these evangelical churches, are dying because they've alienated men who are the natural spiritual leaders of family.
The long march through the institution is marched right through denominational headquarters of almost every denomination, fundamentalist, liturgical, of Roman Catholics.
Even. And these denominations you're talking about, Keith, with its their cucking on race and feminism and immigration, demands that the saving grace of Christ comes attached at the hip with what really you can't describe it as anything else than being a sick suicide cult led by feminized people, feminized men. And you have to ask, does it even qualify as gospel when any sane person must reject the suicidal package offered by the modern-day church?
Suicide is not good news.
Any reasonable person would reject such a ridiculous practice of religion out of hand, meaning that the very best people, many of them, have been alienated from Christianity. So we hope, I think, this Easter weekend that there is some measure of extraordinary grace at work today for the reasonable unbeliever, the disproportionately non-religious, conservative, white man who supported Trump, for instance, cannot but look at the church and gag. And had I not been raised in it, I might have had the same revulsion. But just as the political establishment must be replaced, so must the Christian religious establishment. So we wait that charismatic and forceful advocate of traditional Christianity who are going to drive the cucks from the pulpits. But Michael, it wasn't always that way. I think you would agree that Christianity didn't inhibit our activism, but perhaps complemented it.
Yeah, it undergirded it. I mean, you know, for example, you look back at James Henley Thornwell and Robert Louis Dabney back during the during the war and before the war. The church that I last went to as a member, which I walked away from about 7 years ago because they wanted me to start proselytizing Muslims and inviting them into my home, and I told them to basically go to hell. They've rejected Thornwell and Dabney. Anybody who rejects those gentlemen, and I think Dabney was probably the best theologian that North America's ever produced. I mean, how can you continue to support a church that that disavows its leading theological light like that? I mean, we're just in a terrible mess as far as organized religion goes today. I mean, there are very few churches out there. As I said, you know, we support Pastor McAtee's church, and you know, that's our worship on Sunday morning. We don't go because we can't find a church that should even be called church these days, and that's here in rural North Alabama. So I mean, we have a bad situation.
You are extremely blessed in today's world if you can find a good Bible-believing church with a good fellowship with people that are not afraid or ashamed of being white.
Yeah, and I don't expect them. I don't expect to go into any church and hear a sermon like you would hear broadcast on this program. But I at least want to go into a church and them not feed me suicide cyanide. But well, let me ask you this, and then we're going to pivot after this segment and get into your chapter in the book and away from this for a moment. But Neil Kumar in the new book, to which you have contributed a chapter, and so have I, Neil Kumar as well, The Honorable Cause of Free South. We've been promoting it heavily the last couple of weeks on the program. A great kickoff party at Travelers Rest South Carolina last week. Wonderful, wonderful reception so far. Neil Kumar, I really appreciated his chapter. He writes in it, though, and I'll talk to Neil when he comes on the program this month about it, that we... It was almost as if you must be a Christian in order for us to be able to work with you. And I don't know. Well, let's look at it this way. If you're talking about professing Christians and what they have become, these namby-pamby feminized men on one hand, and a guy who has not yet received the gift of belief on the other, but is with us on race and all of the causes and that we champion and culturally and all of that, I think, you know, yes, I mean, we have to, we obviously not everybody tuning in tonight is a Christian. This is a Christian program. We're Christians, but I don't expect everybody who's tuned in tonight to be a Christian, although predominantly they will be. Your thoughts on that dividing line? I don't think we can let that divide us, Michael.
No, I don't think we can either. You know, what I would do and what we've done in the league for the last almost 30 years, we said we don't have any religious test oath. But anyone who comes in is going to get a healthy dose of traditional Christianity. And if they're not comfortable with that, then they probably need to find another organization. We're not going to insist that they become Christians, but we hope to influence them in a way. And obviously, the Holy Spirit does that work. But, you know, we can point them in the right direction and let them know that, you know, a Southern organization like this would be less than Southern if we didn't honor our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, with everything we do. I've got no sympathy for these feminized so-called Christians.
Yeah, so-called.
I really don't think they are truly Christians. They may call themselves that. But somebody who is you know, solid on the race question and a proud Southerner, you know, I'll work with those people. I'll say, hey,
absolutely.
You know,
well,
you can tell me to get out of here, but until you do, I'm going to give you the gospel.
A lot of the people that we work with are not believers. We appreciate them as champions. We work with them on issues of mutual agreement. I think it's fine to prefer Christians to be our rulers and our compatriots, and certainly that we should. But again, you've got so-called Christians that are working, that are doing everything that that evil leftists would have them do, and so we're not going to have fellowship with them. But, you know, my idea, if you're talking about what's the template for our version of Christianity, which is, I think, the authentic version of Christianity, I'm looking at people like, you know, Constantine and Charlemagne and Richard the Lionheart, and even more contemporary people like Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, not to mention Charles Martel. Had it not been for Christianity uniting the tribes of Europe, I think that we would have been completely snuffed out as a race.
Christianity, it was God's plan that that Europe was Christendom, like you were saying.
Well, that's what Michael said. Yeah, that's right, Keith, because God first sent Paul through a vision. He wanted to go to Asia, but through a vision, God said, no, go to Macedonia. And through there, it came to our people. But, I mean, certainly there were no more pious and devout Christians than the likes of Lee and Jackson.
We're the ones that spread it. We're the ones that made it prosper. Believe me, if Africa rather than Europe had been Christendom, I doubt whether they would have built Notre Dame Cathedral, for example.
And again, you know, Lee, Jackson, Dabney, it just that's to me the utmost manifestation of Christ-like men on this earth. But we went to an Easter thing at a local church. We don't go to this church, but we visited it, Michael. And when we got there, the Easter egg hunt, we wanted to take the kids. They're playing rap music. They have Christian rap music now. And I told my wife, I told her this just a week. I said, had it been Christians like that that were charged with protecting our continent during the Holy Wars, we'd have been cut through like warm butter. We've got to do better. We've got to demand better. I said that this.
Well,
this
I don't get out of the house. I don't get out of the house much, so I didn't know there was such a thing as Christian rap. But
they have.
I won't be listening. So.
Well, you know, it seemed like it all started the Great Falling Away rather than the Great Awakening, happened right after World War II with the advent of the Civil Rights Movement. I'd say that you have a lot of churches that have exchanged the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John for the Gospels of Peter, Paul, and Mary. React to that, if you would, please, Michael.
Yeah, I think they have. I think they sold, you know, they're trying to please the world, the flesh, and the devil. And they sold out to them, you know, for the accolades of man and, you know, for a seat at the world's table. Instead of saying, hey, this is our table, we own it, and, you know, you get out. We don't have any Christians with guts anymore to defend, you know, what God has given us. Even here in the South, I'm sorry to say that we've lost a lot in our manhood, Christian manhood, standing up and
taking
defending
down of our Confederate statues and things like that is just, you know, that's the final straw. That's when we know that, you know, the society generally has, you know, had a great falling off. There's just, you know, when they don't recognize the greatness of Robert E. Lee or Nathan Bedford Forrest, people like that, and our society no longer venerates them, you know, this is not the America you and I were born into, Michael.
No, it isn't, and I'm really sorry to say it's not even the South that I was born into 71 years ago. But look, I still think that the raw material, if you will, is there. I think if you scratch a Southerner and scratch all this modernism off of him, you're still going to find a Southerner beneath.
That's right.
And that's what we've got to do. It's a hard job, but we have to do it.
As we say so often, we don't fight for our people as they exist now, but what they once were and what they can possibly be again. That's our hope and our dream this Holy Week and always. We're going to shift gears with Michael. He'll talk about his chapter in The Honorable Cause next.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jerry Varmish. Police say a threat against a Dallas mall Saturday morning was unsubstantiated. North Park Center was evacuated due to reports of an unconfirmed threat. In a statement following the police response, the mall said the threat was possibly connected to those affecting Nordstrom stores in the area, so North Park closed their location while cops investigated. Federal judges in two states made vastly different rulings on abortion medication.
Attorney General Merrick Garland said the Department of Justice will appeal the decision by a judge in Texas that halts the FDA's approval of mifepristone, while reviewing another in Washington state that says the Food and Drug Administration must ensure that abortion drugs remain available in at least a dozen states that sued the agency. The government has 7 days to appeal the ruling. Vice President Harris says the Biden administration will do all they can.
There is no question that the president and I are going to stand with the women of America.
A lawsuit by an anti-abortion group argued that the 5-year approval process for the drug was rushed. I'm Jeremy Scott.
Two people are dead and a police officer wounded following a standoff in the town of Blanchard, Oklahoma. The standoff began after police responded to a house on reports of a domestic disturbance. The injured officer is now hospitalized after undergoing surgery. Railways are getting a new look at how to handle safety.
Federal regulators are calling on railroads to reevaluate their placement of train cars following an increase in derailments. The Federal Railroad Administration issued a safety advisory saying railroads must prioritize proper train makeup to maintain safety, prevent accidents, and optimize train performance. The order does not force railroads to act, but it's part of a push by the federal government to bolster train safety following the toxic train derailment in Ohio. I'm Karen Sloan.
This is USA News.
Nothing fights the winter blues like a delicious and satisfying meal. Luckily, Omaha Steaks makes it easy to start the year right and keep that warm and cozy feeling going all winter long. Right now is the perfect time to stock up and fill your freezer with flavor. Go to omahasteaks.com and use promo code TREAT at checkout and get $30 off your order. Save on perfectly portioned favorites, easy meals, and so much more with Omaha Steaks Freezer Filler Sale. That's $30 off an endless variety of gourmet choices from incredible steaks, premium chicken, delicious pork to seafood. There's something for everyone, and every bite is backed by their 100% money-back guarantee. Visit OmahaSteaks.com today. Enter TREAT at checkout to get $30 off your order. Order with complete confidence today, knowing you're ordering the very best. Visit OmahaSteaks.com. Use promo code TREAT at checkout to get that extra $30 off your order. Minimum order may be required.
Let us labor for the master from the dawn to setting sun. Let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and our work on earth is done, and the road is called up yonder, I'll be there.
Those old Southern gospel hymns. You remember that one, Michael? Yeah, go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I've sung that many times. That's a great song.
And, yeah, well, of course it is. And as I said before, the faith did not inhibit the work of people like Michael Hill. It empowered it. And I want to say, we were talking about some of the heroes of the faith and our race, Charlemagne, Richard the Lionheart, Lee Jackson, Dabney, Charles Martel, who saved Europe, Jan Sobieski. Michael Hill is one of those modern-day heroes, and I don't say that lightly, Michael. Your performance, you know, that iconic stand you took in Charlottesville leading that column, that's one thing. Not to mention your lifelong work with the League of the South, fighting for a cause greater than yourself.
But I appreciate you saying that, James.
I mean it. And we've paid a price. You've paid a price. People who've paid a price have a fellowship. But I want to say the one thing you did that really, I mean, you'd already had my utmost respect and devotion, but when you were on trial in Charlottesville, you know, so many people that were on trial in a situation like this, when presented with things they had said in the past or believed, they say, I believed it then, but I'm so ashamed, so embarrassed of it. I listened to that whole trial. As a matter of fact, when that was going on about a year and a half ago, you were on the stand on a Friday night. We're on the show the next day after on a Saturday night. And I remember them trying to, the attorneys trying to get you in one of these gotcha moments, you know, trying to embarrass you, trying something you had said, something you'd written. And you handled it like a man, like a lion. You said, I believed it then and I believe it now. They would say, well, did you remember saying this? I believed it then and I believe it now. It will only be through men with that sort of resolve that we ever get out of this tailspin, Michael. And I salute you.
Well, I thank you, James, for saying that. I found a room that I could sit in and collect my thoughts before I had to go on the stand. And I got down on my knees and prayed to God that he would give me the words to say and the courage to say them. And so I have to give the credit to him, because, you know, he bolstered me and gave me the courage and the right words to say at the moment. But he promised he would do that. If we just ask, so I ask, and he came through for me. So I appreciate you saying that, but man, I got to give the credit to him.
That's what we're talking about here, ladies and gentlemen, though, how the faith empowered Michael Hill in that moment throughout his life and to an extent, a lesser extent, mine as well, and the work that we do in this program. Being tethered into something eternal gives you a supernatural power in your finite time on earth, because we're fighting for generations here. We're fighting for our bloodlines. And Michael, anyway, your chapter in this book, The Honorable Cause of Free South, you wrote a standout chapter. It's worth buying the book just to read Michael's contribution to it, Liberal Democracy versus Organic Nationalism, A Template for the South. Take all the time you need, and then we'll bring Keith back on in this, but take all the time you need to share with the audience what you are trying to convey in your chapter in the book.
Well, you know, there is, and I'll use sort of the MAGA movement here as kind of a hook. The Trump supporters in this America First thing, you know, they believe they're nationalists, but they are what we call civic nationalists, meaning that they are no different from the Lincolnites. And Lincoln, of course, in his Gettysburg Address, said that America was a proposition nation and built on the proposition largely that all men are created equal. You know, what I call call BS on that. The kind of organic nationalism I'm talking about in my essay in this very, very fine book that I recommend that everybody go out and buy a copy of is not civic nationalism, James. It's blood and soil nationalism, the only kind of nationalism that's going to save the South or going to save any traditionally white nation state.
It's really it the only type of nationalism there is, Michael, because
A proposition nation is
just an invention of Jewish liberals, basically.
Well, so when we're talking about a national divorce, which has become a euphemism for secession, what are we talking about? Nation is a race. We're talking about a racial secession, are we not?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think it was Marjorie Taylor Greene, the congresswoman from Georgia, who came out and said we need a national divorce. Well, I wonder if Miss Green, I'm not trying to belittle her or anything. I appreciate her saying that and getting it on the radar. But does she really understand what she's talking about when she is calling for a national divorce? We in the league have been calling for a national divorce in the true sense of the word for about 30 years. I have had no problems saying that my goal is to make the South white man's land again, like it was in the days when I grew up, and you know, that's what I like to see a return to. So that's kind of the underlying theme of my chapter here, is that liberal democracy is a failure. Liberal democracy is something that if whites accept it with our declining birth rate, and in 1890, whites were about 30% of the world's population. Today, we're about 10% or a little less. Democracy is a racial headcount. I mean, that's what it is. And with an open border and what declining white birth rate, democracy is going to destroy the white race in America and in other countries where you have large numbers of non-whites already there and coming in as immigrants, whether it's legal or illegal. It doesn't matter. They will be voters that will disenfranchise and make whites politically powerless. We have got to have a return to organic nationalism. And as Keith pointed out, you know, there's only one kind of nationalism, and it's blood and soil nationalism. And unless we have the courage to say, this is our land, and when we say our, we mean the founding stock, what many people today call heritage Americans, heritage Southerners in our case. This is our land. Every people has to have a land on which to live. And if we don't have that, and we are a minority that is basically politically emasculated, we have no future. No future for ourselves, no future for our offspring. So when I say that we need to return to organic nationalism, we need to return to this idea that this is our land, and we rule it in our interest. And citizenry, the citizenship, rather, is a privilege that is allowed only to those of us in this land who are responsible and who will see to the best interest of our people, and that is obviously white males. And I say that with no shame or no trepidation. I mean, you know, we go back to this thing about white male rulership in our society, and we will take a giant step toward revitalizing the South.
Yeah, but let me tell you something, Michael. Nobody would have a problem if you were a black man saying Chad or Uganda or wherever is the black man's land. They would applaud it. They would celebrate. They'd pat you on the back. There is no shame in us wanting a place where our culture and our faith and our language and our heroes can predominate as well. Keith, before the break.
Well, a perfect example of why we can't share our patrimony with other races is Donald Trump's trial in New York.
Which you're going to take an hour to dissect in the next
hour. But just think about this. Alvin Bragg is not one of us. Neither is this Judge Marchand. They're both different people. They're not white Southerners or part of the founding stock of any part of America. And as a result of that, we can't depend on our institutions and our form of government to operate properly when it's entrusted to people like that. You know, everybody concedes that Donald Trump is, he's a dead man as far as any chance in that courtroom with a prosecutor like that.
Hey, Keith, if he gets by that, he's got Atlanta. He's got Atlanta to face, and that may be even more daunting. That may be even more daunting than New York.
Diversity is not strength. Diversity is Ann Coulter said. Where has it ever happened? Where have you ever had racial diversity or ethnic diversity where it hasn't been an enormous problem?
Yeah, Michael, Keith, y'all are on to something big. I hear the music. We got one more segment with the great Michael Hill of the League of the South. LeagueOfTheSouth.com. LeagueOfTheSouth.com. Why don't you become a member like I am? LeagueOfTheSouth.com. But yes, New York didn't win the race. They were just the first to the poll. Fannie Willis down in Atlanta is going to indict Trump, too. This is just the first. We're going to talk about that in the next hour before Brett McAtee
rounds up. Our jury trial system.
We'll be right back. ABC family, this is James Edwards, your host of The Political Cesspool. Folks, I want you to subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper. Against all odds, AFP has and continues to publish a populist, independent print newspaper with an unparalleled track record. Founded by a dedicated group of experienced patriots, AFP pulls no punches and tackles the most controversial and pressing issues facing America from an America First perspective. I've worked with the American Free Press since even before the beginning of TPC. Now that's something. You can subscribe to the print edition by visiting AmericanFreePress.net today or simply pick up a handy digital edition subscription. However you do it, subscribe to the American Free Press, America's last real newspaper, by visiting AmericanFreePress.net or by calling 1-888-699-NEWS, AmericanFreePress.net.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
Fighting for the soul of liberty and true pursuit of happiness for everyone. Freedom Fest 2023 is coming to the home of the blues and birthplace of rock and roll, Memphis, Tennessee, July 12th through 15th. It's the ultimate summit for liberty, educating and empowering through art, music, film, and comedy, while promoting economic freedom and highlighting today's political issues. Use promo code ROUND50 to save $50 off the current rate. Reserve your spot at freedomfest.com.
Heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit.
ladies and gentlemen. I grew up singing these songs. To paraphrase Michael Hill, I loved them then and I love them now. Michael, you give a southerner a piano, a harmonica, and a fiddle, and we can do something with it. I know you got some musical chops.
We certainly can. We certainly can. I love it.
Well, let me tell you a little bit more about Michael Hill. I mean, of course, League of the South, leagueofthesouth.com. But he attained his PhD in history from the University of Alabama. The author of Celtic Warfare, which we have used as a fundraising.
I'm here. I can't hear James, though. Okay. I appreciate all the good things that James has said about me. I could say pretty much the same about him. He's been a fearless leader of the Southern cause here for quite some time. And if he lives out his normal life, he'll have a lot more years to do this than I've got left. He's a young man, and I'm not. I still feel pretty young, but I appreciate James always having me on the show during Confederate History Month. And it's always been a great pleasure to be here. And I want to encourage you all to buy this book. Patrick Martin is the editor of it. He's with Identity Dixie. It's called The Honorable Cause of Free South. And you can get it by going to Amazon.com. I mean, I hate you have to go there to get it, but hey, we get some of the funds. So you'll be supporting a good cause. And listen, this book has been getting some good reviews and quite a few reviews. So buy a copy for yourself, buy a copy for your friends, your family, and get it out there because I think it's here at an opportune time. There's a lot going down right now, politically, economically, socially, not just here, but around the world that are going to make some major changes over the next 6 months to 2 years, I believe. And we have an opportunity here now as Southerners to do some things that maybe were not possible for us 10, 15, 20 years ago. We could talk about them then. Maybe we can do them now. And one is push for a free and independent South and have people take that seriously.
Yes, they have to take it seriously. I had a little momentary blip there on my mic, so thank you for taking over there, Michael. But
sure,
what I was saying
problem.
Before you took over so capably after all these years is that I read your contribution to the book and Neil Kumar's, and I was like, tone it down, hell, these guys are knocking it out of the park. I had gone back and you know, so Amazon would carry it. I took out the word, you know, we fight for our race. I changed race to people group,
right,
and things like that. But in any event, I want to read right now from the book. This is in from your chapter, Michael, and this really just coalesces everything that we're talking about in this hour with you. You write that we take our stand in the historic South and for the people, white Southerners, who made the historic South what it is. The South is not a universal idea any more than Scotland, France, or Serbia. Instead, the South was and is a true nation built on the realities of place and kinship that we must revitalize if we are to survive and prosper. Now, values matter, culture matters, but what it really comes down to is what you just said. It comes down to race and also faith, I think, because they complement one another and they inform one another. But the situation here, you know, with the issue of transgenderism, I mean, that is not a peripheral issue. I mean, that is something that strikes the very bloodline of our people. Bloodlines are being severed forever because of these satanic attacks against our people, whether it's through no-fart divorce or transgender or whatever, these manifestations of the left. Yeah, go ahead.
Miscegenation.
Well, exactly. I mean, this is all a manifestation of Satan as far as I see it and as far as I'm concerned. That's the way I view it.
It is, James. And we as Christians are called on not only to fight evil but to destroy it. And this is evil personified. I mean, we know who these people are, and we know who's pushing this on us. If we sit by and let this be done to our children, then we deserve the fate that we're going to get. We have to destroy this evil. I mean, destroy it. And there is no room for compromise with it. There is no room for half measures. Half measures are the currency of cowards. And what we need are full measures to get this cancer eradicated from our society right now and those who are responsible for it.
And while we're on the subject, Michael, this was not homegrown. This did not, this liberalism, no, which is the opposite faith system to traditional Christianity in America and in the South in particular, it wasn't the product of other white Southerners. It was a foreign group that we're well aware of, okay? And unfortunately, white Southern fundamentalists seem to have fallen lock, stock, and barrel for this heresy called Jewish dispensationalism.
Yep,
I always learned in I learned in Sunday school that if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. But now they tell you that they are saved. You listen to John Hagee or all sorts of televangelists now. They tell you that Jews don't need to be evangelized. They have their own separate covenant with God. They're going to heaven even though they don't accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We need to call this out and tell people
this
that
man
you cannot let that, you cannot let the camel's nose in the tent, because if you do, as the Arabs say, the next thing you know, the camel will be in your tent, own it, and you'll be moved out.
I love it when you said that, Keith. Lauren Witzke, who's a friend of ours, she wrote something with regards to the whole transgender thing, which is, again, attack on our bloodline, so it must be repelled. I mean, all of this, as you say, Michael, it has to be stamped out. It has to be expelled from our land. She wrote quite succinctly, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah was supposed to be a warning, not an instruction manual. But in any event... the Honorable Cause of Free South. Dr. Michael Hill contributed one of the chapters, one of the great chapters. There's no weak points, but of course, my friendship with Michael makes me partial to him over all these years. So you can get it at Amazon.com. We encourage you to do it. The Honorable Cause of Free South, Michael Hill, talking about that tonight, this Holy Week where it intersects with Confederate History Month. LeagueOfTheSouth.com. We want you to join. We want you to support the work of Michael Hill. Boy, he has proven himself. He has proven himself through every trial and every tribulation that our people can face here. And that's the kind of leadership we need. And I am still young enough, and a lot of people come up to me and they say, well, thank you for all you've done and this, and we appreciate it all. Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate your appreciation. I appreciate the people. I appreciate my elders. I was still raised in a day and age where the elders and the ones who came before me and who set the standard for people like me to follow, Michael Hill is one of those. And Michael, I want to thank you again this Easter weekend, this Confederate History Month, for being on with us. We got about 3 minutes remaining. What does the South mean to you, your Confederate forebears? It is Confederate History Month.
And so how do we win this battle?
Let's give a tip of the hat to them and tell us the way forward.
Well, it means everything to me. It's who I am. And we win this battle by not giving up. The side that quits loses. We're not going to quit. I'm not going to quit. You're not going to quit. None of us are going to quit. We're going to fight this thing to the last ditch. And the last ditch is going to be their last ditch, not ours. Because I have faith that God will not desert us after all this time if we remain faithful to Him and faithful to His word, and faithful to the vision of our ancestors. We are who we are because of them and because of God's grace to them before us. And it's up to us to continue that fight today, win or lose in our generation, to continue it. And I hope we win. I pray we win. But if we don't, we've got to continue to fight so our future generations will have ground on which to fight from as well. So
we're going to do our duty until God Himself calls us home. Why should every self-respecting Southern man join and support the League of the South?
Because it's their duty to do so. And Robert E. Lee said it's the sublimest word in the English language. And I do believe that's true. A man who does his duty can do no more, and we should expect him to do no less. So there you are, folks. Do your duty. And you know what your duty is, to your God and to your blood.
Hey, Michael, I got to say this. I'm going to give the final word to Keith. I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this, but Sam Dixon is tuned in right now, and he just sent me a text message saying that you have set out the truth in the quote that I just read. And you know how much we appreciate and respect Sam.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. He's one of my favorites.
Well, remember the dying words of Lord Horatio Nelson on the deck of the HMS Victorious when he was mortally wounded by a French sniper, but he was told by his adjutant that the French admiral had just surrendered. His dying words were, "Thank God, sir, I have done my duty." And I hope we all have the same dying words.
And listen,
absolutely.
God's will be done, win or lose. And so all we can do is our duty. And if we fall short or if we prevail, whatever it is, I want to win or lose together. Michael, final word to you.
Absolutely. Absolutely, sir. We win or lose together, but I have great faith in God that he's going to let us be on the winning side if we do our duty. And we need to just bow our backs and push forward every day and do a little bit more until we get to that finish line and we got what we want. And that's a free and independent South.
For our people and our posterity, Dr. Michael Hill, President of the League of the South, leagueofthesouth.com. If you remember one website during Confederate History Month, remember leagueofthesouth.com. We've got so many more Southern-themed guests and interviews lined up for the rest of this month. But tonight's a special night with Michael Hill, and still to come in the third hour, Pastor Brett McAtee. In the second hour, though, we're going to take a brief departure and talk with Keith about the arrest and indictment of Donald Trump. Stay tuned, everybody. Thank you, Chief. We'll talk to you again soon. Stay tuned, everybody.